I'd like to call this meeting to order. Welcome. I'd like to ask for the roll call first.
Councilmember Chavez.
Here.
Celino.
Here.
Bettencourt.
Here.
Rapata.
Here.
Mayor Fass.
Here. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Since this is a workshop tonight, we're going to be talking about the budget. Is there anyone that would like to speak or have public comment on anything other than the budget this evening? If so, would you please come up to the microphone? Seeing none, we'll move on to our workshop. And I'd like to turn the meeting over to Lori.
Thank you. My plan presentation tonight is going to be relatively short. I just wanted to go over a couple of pages of the budget that are of importance. The most recent version is July 8th. This version has been uploaded to our website. I do have it available on the screen, although it's going to be very difficult to read some of the numbers. I'm going to start with the page right after the title page, which is just going through some important notes or obstacles or hurdles that we've had to overcome with this budget. The first is for the general fund revenues. You'll notice a line item in the revenues, which is year one of three, recalculation loss by Fresno County. It's for the 2% inflationary pass-through that occurs from the redevelopment agency to the general fund. It's a calculation that the county does. The county has admitted that they have miscalculated that 2% inflationary pass-through. And so by law, they can go back and do an adjustment over the last 4 years, which they have done. They have told us that the overpayment from the redevelopment agency to the general fund is $93,522. And so they are going to make that repayment over 3 years. So in the 2011-12 budget, you'll notice that the general fund indicates a reduction of property tax revenue of about $31,174 for year one of that recalculation. We also lost our vehicle license fees that were taken by the state of California to fund the COPS money. So the good news is our COPS fund 75 was reinstated for $100,000 for frontline law enforcement costs. The bad news is that we lost $150,000 to our general fund and vehicle license fees. And of course, this is being challenged on the state budget level. The general fund franchise fees, you'll notice that the dollar amount is increased for 11-12 over 10-11. That's for a one-time adjustment that will be paid by PG&E for about $50,000. They took a look at their entire West Coast operation and they discovered that they had misallocated the franchise fees. So our portion actually was overpaid to other jurisdictions. They aren't taking the money away from those other jurisdictions. They're actually coming up and fronting us that money, but it won't occur until most likely April of 2012 when we get our annual payment. The budget document for the LTF Article 8 monies, Fund 11, when this budget was put together, we were told by COG that the revenues would be down by approximately $200,000. They had indicated that Fresno County Rural Transportation Authority, the Dial-A-Ride, was requiring more money for 11-12 than they were in 10-11. They were also indicating that the state transit assistant funds were down, as well as the countywide LTF funds, by approximately $1 million. The good news is that last week they they revised their numbers. They decided that the state transit assistance funds would be higher than they originally anticipated. So our revenues increased from $312,000 to $440,000 in the Fund 11, Article 8. So that will be represented on the next draft version that you receive. We've already talked in prior workshops about the need to revisit the sewer fees, that there would have to be some substantial increases. I just wanted to make that note to you. I know that Russ and I have a conference call tomorrow with HDR to go over their most recent draft proposal, so that will be coming back to you in the near future.
And excuse me, on that one, could we have information on the increases that have taken place in the last 5 years on that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank
sure.
you.
I want to identify that you'll notice that the disposal fund reserves proposed for June of 2012 are actually in the negative, so we're working with Public Works to revise those numbers, but the predominant issue there is that $434,000 of the disposal fund revenues are being used for a grant match for CNG disposal trucks. I believe the plan is to purchase three trucks for about $900,000, and the grant is for about $400,000. So the difference is drawing down the reserves.
Have we already been awarded that grant?
I'll defer to Russ.
Yeah, those funds are secured. We had originally planned on purchasing one truck last fiscal year and two trucks this fiscal year. The way things worked out, all three trucks are going to be purchased this fiscal year. So that was a little bit of adjustment that we had to make at the last minute. Also, you'll notice that the disposal fund, you know, is in the red, $22,000 and some change. And we made last minute adjustments, and that actually put it in the red. So there's a forklift that the disposal department was going to purchase. We're not going to purchase that this fiscal year. So we're actually going to be okay in the disposal department.
Thank you, Russ.
And last on my list is for the redevelopment agency. This draft budget does account for the AB 26 quote-unquote ransom payment that we're going to be required to pay for about $865,000. We made the budget work. If that legislation goes through, we will be allowed to use the entire 20% set aside for 11-12 as frontage for that payment. So that would be approximately $527,000. The balance of that would need to come from the capital project side of the tax increment. We've made that work in addition to all of our other obligations that have already been issued, such as the facade grant program that we've already awarded to some businesses and family housing, Reedley Family Housing Project, and different things like that. As of yesterday, the League of California Cities and the California Redevelopment Agency filed a petition for with the state Supreme Court to overturn this legislation, as well as issuing a stay to prevent the legislation from taking place. However, the payment is included in this budget. We will be bringing forth the continuation ordinance so that we can conduct business, as well as the other things necessary in case the legislation moves forward.
Even though there's a lawsuit, we still have to make the payment.
Yes, right. We still have to comply with the legislation as it is until such time as they either get a stay or they get the legislation overturned. So I'm going to jump to page 9 of the budget document. And again, these numbers are going to be pretty tiny on the screen. This is how the fund balances currently stand. And again, the fund balance is determined by taking the actual working capital as of June 2010. We updated our 2010-11 numbers. These are pretty much as we're ending June 30th. We have our estimated expenditures. This is reflective of the accrual, the payroll, accrued wages and accrued taxes, and most of our June 30th expenditures. There's just a few revenue items that have yet to come in, but we've estimated those, and these numbers are very close to what the actual is. So we're calculating that our general fund ending fund balance is $270,000.
Before you start, Lori, can we have a little bit of light up here? You know, it's nice to approve something you can't see.
Okay. There you go.
No, you can't. They won't be able to see the screen, though.
You can't really see it all that much.
All right, okay, turn off.
About that. Can you see that?
That's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we have our estimated revenue for 2011-12 at $6.6 million, our estimated general fund expenditures for 2011-12 at $7.5 million, and our estimated ending fund balance for the general fund for June 30th, 2012 is a negative $631,430. So what we would like from you tonight, if you are able to provide staff with direction, is where you would like us to make additional cuts with regard to the general fund expenditures, or where you might see us making some revenue enhancements, or whether you want us to direct staff to utilize reserves for getting a balanced general fund budget. There are some other funds that have a projected negative fund balance as of June 30th, 2012. We're working on those for the next draft revision. We're working with the departments to correct that. A couple of the street funds, the Fund 7, which is the federal and state funding, grant funding for street projects, Fund 12 for the utility underground districts, the disposal fund, which Russ has already addressed. The two funds that are in the red, the airport fund, were projected to end with a deficit of $236,000, and the 108 Parks DIF fund. We have received our $490,000 from the state, which was reimbursement for the sports park, but this fund had a resolution adopted in place to repay the open space DIF fund because it borrowed for construction of the sports park, and the payment arrangements for repayment of that, it was in a five-year period. The payments are exceeding what the DIF revenues are bringing in because of the drop in the building activity. So that will eventually recover and bring itself back into the black. At this point in time, I'd like to turn it over to our police department. This afternoon they came up with some changes that will potentially affect the general fund deficit, and so I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Garza. You don't want that.
Good evening, Mayor, City Council. Lieutenant Edgar is passing out a proposal. I need to stress that this is just strictly a proposal at this time. We will be getting some hard numbers hopefully within the next week or so. First of all, I'd like to start off by thanking my management staff for being proactive and coming up with some ways to cut some of the budget, from the budget. So what you have in front of you is just a proposed general fund saving from the police department. This is contingent upon three vacancies becoming available. We currently have one vacancy with a potential of two other vacancies coming up here within the next week or two, and we should be able to know again hopefully within the next week or so regarding those two vacancies. If those two vacancies were to happen, we have a plan in place that will allow us to stair step some of our new officers that will come in to fill those positions, bringing them at a lower salary at a part-time rate, and being able to have at least 6 months of savings to the general fund. In total, we will be looking at about $71,000 for the 2011-2012 general fund in savings. Again, this is just a proposal. It's something that we are still getting some better estimates or getting some better numbers, but this is something that we are planning to bring to you hopefully at the next city council meeting.
Okay, so these are full-time positions, and you're looking to replace with one full-time position and then use reserves?
What will happen is that our reserve officers still have to go through the same training program that our full-time officers have to go through. So what our proposal, or what we are proposing to do, is to keep them hired, or keep them employed as part-time employees, and then eventually promote them to full-time employees when they complete their training program. So that allows us to pay them at a part-time wage. We don't have to worry about benefits at that, you know, for the first 4 months during the training program. Then come January, or at the time that they are done with the field training program, is then promote them up to full-time positions. Now, and again, this is contingent on those two vacancies, and then also in addition, we would have to still gain approval from the Measure G committee, because part of the part-time money would have to come from Measure G. We're anticipating about $38,000 it's going to cost us for the year to employ these part-time people for approximately about 10 months. And what it allows us to do, it allows us to stair-step, because we could have the potential of future vacancies in the police department, full-time officer vacancies, and what we want to be able to do is prepare for those vacancies. So we would hire two reserve CSOs, which we could put out into the field within about 30 days, and give them some experience. And then once those three officers that are in the training program complete their training, because we could only afford to have three people at one time or at any time going through the training program, then we would be able to move those two people up to the reserve status, police officer status, and complete their training and have them, in essence, waiting in the wings in case we have any vacancies. And then that way we can just move them up so we don't run into the problem that we have now where we're running behind. But again, it will depend on the Measure G committee to approve that, and of course, to come back to City Council for your final approval after they, if they approve it at their level.
Okay. Any questions from the council?
When are you going to meet with the Measure G committee?
August 16th is our next meeting.
Oh, okay.
And I believe, Ms. Kay, they have all RSVP'd?
That's affirmative, yes.
Should we possibly be working to be on that agenda as well to talk to them about additional dollars? I mean, we've thrown that around several times about utilizing some of those dollars to help balance this budget. Shouldn't we take that opportunity to go before that group and ponder that question?
When we asked legal counsel about the possibility of using Measure G funds, they indicated that it would be helpful to have the oversight committee's approval for doing that, not necessarily required, but it would be very nice to have.
I think we shouldn't do it unless we have the oversight committee's approval, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. So I think that, and this is just my thoughts, and see if everyone agrees, we should be on that agenda also to go before that oversight committee about utilizing some of those dollars. Anybody else?
Oh, no, I think that's right.
Because I wouldn't want to use those dollars unless they agreed to it.
We're not going to supplant somebody that's already under those funds now. This is in addition to, Chief?
Yes, it is in addition to. There is part-time money available in the Measure G account, so we would just be asking for approximately about another $20,000 from the Measure G committee to be added to our current budget through Measure G. So it's it's a very nominal amount that we're asking.
You know, and I think the reason that Councilman Rapata is asking is, you know, we've gone through some things that this council has not been informed, okay? And we've been getting some surprises as department heads, city managers, whatever, leave this department, the city. And it's getting a little frustrating. We want to make sure that you folks, we're dealing with public money, that we get every information that we need to so that we can make the right decisions, right? Because questions will be asked later on, we don't have an answer to them because we weren't given that information. So just keep this council informed of what's taking place.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So I'd be happy to go through the document in depth, page by page, if you would like. There really has not been any major deviation from the last version with regard to the 11-12 budget. Council certainly has a monumental task ahead of it to direct staff on how to balance this budget. I would like to point out that currently the 11-12 expenditures exceed the revenues by approximately $901,000. We know if we're going to use the existing fund balance of approximately $270,000 towards the problem, that will not be an available option or an available fix for the 2012-13 budget. But I know council has already dedicated itself to immediately working on 12-13 once 11-12 is adopted. So with that, I would ask for direction on how you would like to proceed with tonight's meeting or with regard to direction on balancing the general fund 11-12 budget.
That's a great question.
At this point, looking at the fund balances, are there any questions specifically from any council members?
I don't think anything's really changed since we went through them line by line last time as far as the fund balances. It was nice to see that the calculated fund balance for the general fund had our deficit anyway, had dropped.
It did, and of course it was predominantly due to the department's being diligent on their 10-11 spending and our 10-11 revenue coming in better than anticipated. It would have even been better had we not lost a net of $50,000 in the VLF issue and that recalculation with the county on the redevelopment money pass-throughs and some other things. But it did improve the situation somewhat.
You know, I still voice my concerns. I'm concerned about the police budget. I think it's really skinny. I commend the lieutenants for coming up with this plan. You know, just on paper, it looks like a very viable plan, something that could work, you know, to if you can build your way, maybe having the reserves work their way up is a better way for us, too, to determine whether they're the right fit for this community, too. So maybe that might just be something that you do in the future as well, just to have that grace period, that little bit longer grace period. But I'm still concerned about the police budget overall. At, you know, and that's why I don't want to wait for mid-year sessions and things like that. I'd rather us go through these budgets at least every couple of months as we're working on the next one and reviewing the last one so that we stay on top of it. I don't think by any means is anyone up here wanting to micromanage anybody, but as Councilman Solano stated, we just want to be informed constantly of where we're at. We seem to, as people seem to leave this entity, we seem to find more and more surprises, and we need to stop that. I still think going forward, I know there's still some work to be done with some negotiations, but I still think it's going to come down to we have to make choices of either utilizing some of the reserve and asking the committee, the Measure G committee, for some of those dollars, or else you're basically going to start looking at some layoffs if we don't utilize those funds. And, you know, we worked hard to be able to build that. It's not a lot, that $1 million reserve, but at least we have a reserve. But I would say this, I wouldn't want to see that reserve at this time go anywhere below that $750,000 mark. I'm scared for it to even drop to that point, but I would not want to see it go below that. And at looking at tonight's numbers, correct me if I'm wrong, Lori, to get down to 750, we'd be utilizing 253,999, correct?
Correct.
So if we were to put the interim chief plan into place and use that amount of reserve, it would bring our number down to 316,282, which gets us closer. And then I'm just going to throw this out, and somebody else can speak to it if they think otherwise. But I think we've thrown out the figure of asking the Measure G committee for $100,000 of those funds. And if you did that, we'd be down to 216, 282.
On the reserve?
That would be our deficit number. If we used 253,999 from the reserve, Ray, got $100,000 from the Measure G. If we don't do those things, then, you know, I just really believe, looking at this budget, we're going to have to start looking at some possible layoffs, and I don't want to go that road.
And I'm more than happy to put those numbers into the budget in the next draft version. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're adopting it that way, but it would certainly provide you with a different set of numbers.
Yeah, let us look at it, you know. You know, and before we started going into, say, even thinking about laying people off, we have run numbers about what kind of savings we can have with furlough days and that type of thing, so we could, you know, possibly look at doing some of that to get this number down a bit. There are other things, but I don't want to get into what's being negotiated. But I think if we can get this number down around the 200,000 mark, then maybe we can go through some different issues and work our way down to balancing this thing.
You know, this is a budget that's, it's been tough for this council, and all the budgets that I've worked with, this is the most difficult one that we've had to face. You know, we've said it before, we don't want to lay anybody off. Because once you start laying people off, it's going to affect the service of the public. And all we're asking is, folks, just give a little bit, okay, to balance this budget. I know that you folks say, well, wait a minute, I've given enough. I don't know if you have or not. The problem is that I'm just saying that this is the most difficult projects or budgets that we work with. And, you know, we don't want to lay anybody off. But the direction we're going right now, we probably will have to lay somebody off. And we don't want that, because once you start laying people off, you're going to affect the service of the public. You know, the public is hurting right now. When times were good, we were good to employees. And we're asking, just please help us balance this budget. If times get better, we'll get back to where we were. You know, we've been told that, hey, I'm looking for other employment in other cities. Well, if that's your attitude, then fine. But we want to keep all of you because you've done a good job for the city. You know, I don't know what else we can say. We have a difficult choice to make. Look at each other. If we have to lay people off, look at each other, and who are you going to sacrifice to balance the budget? God, folks, I'm not going to lay anybody off at the bottom, because those are people that service the public. I'm going to start looking at the people at the top before I approve this budget. I'm sorry, but I've got to say this.
Any other comments from the council? Are there any comments in general from any of the public? If so, would you come up to the microphone and state your name and address, please, for a record?
Good evening, Mayor Fast, council members. My name's Steve Heinrichs. I live at 479 West Olson Avenue, City of Reedley resident. I'm up here to address my concerns of the city's current budget crisis. I believe decisions from both past and present play a huge role in the budget shortfall that we face today. I understand that the state of California has to take its share of the blame for financial irresponsibility. However, in my opinion, the city of Reedley must own up to its portion. I have three major areas of concern that I would like to speak to you about tonight. number one being the general fund. This fund mainly supports police, fire, community services, and parks. There are two categories of services in this fund, which are essential and non-essential. Mr. Rapata, in one of the two previous budget workshops, you made it very clear that the city was not willing to make any cuts to any services nor any layoffs because you were trying to save our jobs, which was touched on again tonight. My question to you is, how can you save jobs when you're not willing to make cuts to non-essential, non-revenue producing, non-safety services, and the only alternative is to give back-breaking cuts to employees across the board, even to those who do not affect the general fund? It is a hard pill for me to swallow when I look around and see many communities in the Central Valley, California, and throughout the nation that have already made these difficult decisions. I am quite sure that none of these cities were happy about cutting back in these areas. It is never the goal of any city to cut back on any services, but in times like these, unfortunately for most, it is the reality. As a resident, do I want some of these services that make the city really a nicer place to live to go away? Not really, but the top priority for me and my family is safety, which include police, fire, and public works. I was always taught that when times get tough, you always start cutting back on the things you can do without. A lot of these things make life fun, certainly more enjoyable, but when push comes to shove, you do what is financially responsible. I've heard for many years now that the city of Reedley is working hard to bring in more business, thus creating more revenue. Even with those changes, we would not see the benefit of some of the sales tax revenues from 1 to 3 years. We have empty buildings downtown, dollar stores, specialty shops. I keep hearing shop Reedley first. I would love to do so, but unfortunately, most of our needs with competitive prices went about 8 miles southeast of Reedley. I plead with you tonight to start making decisions that are maybe less popular, but more responsible to the citizens of Reedley. My second concern lies with the Enterprise Fund accounts. These funds include water, wastewater, and disposal. Where do I begin? Let's start with the bonds that are currently attached to water and wastewater. These bonds, whether they're needed for unfunded state mandates or not, have to be paid for out of the fees paid by Reedley citizens. As for the reserves, with these accounts being empty, why are fees not being increased to cover this as well? Reserve monies are needed to cover the cost of catastrophic failure to the city's infrastructure, which services all City of Reedley citizens. Are we being fiscally responsible by not raising rates to cover these costs and just crossing our fingers that nothing will go wrong? I think not. As a resident, do I like the thought of having my rates raised to cover increasing cost of maintenance and operation, personnel, bonds, and to increase reserves? The answer for most, including myself, would be no. But if this is what is needed to maintain safe, high-quality service and product, then yes, raise my rates. I understand the range of demographics here in Reedley is wide. However, the cost of providing service to all remains the same. And last but not least, I wanted to touch on, I know the city has been looking into going after grant monies to build this fourplex around the water tower out at the sports park area. My question is, why are we going after grant monies for something that eventually will have to be maintained by the city? I've heard, you know, the thought of we could go with a private management company to come in, hopefully take care of those duties, that revenues could be gained from this. But do we have something set in stone on that if this thing is built? Do we have a management company that said, we'll take care of it? What kind of revenues can we expect to get from that? I just feel like in these times that we're in of so much uncertainty, that these things should be at the bottom of our list of importance right now. In conclusion, I can only hope and pray that our current leadership will start making the changes that are needed to meet the challenges of today's world. This community was once looked to as the leader of the pack, but I fear that we are quickly sliding to the bottom of the pile. I guess the question remains, do we want to return as a leader or default to just another struggling community? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Any other general comments? Hi. Would you please state your name and address for our record?
Well, I'm Doug Godino. I'm the business representative for the General Service Employees out of Fresno, California. I'm going to be brief. Steve did an eloquent job talking about it. And I'm not going to get into negotiations either. I just want to, I do a lot of contracts. I do Corcoran, Sanger, Reedley. I did three contracts with Fresno County. I did 3.5 years with the state, with the largest state employee union in California. One mistake's being made by all these municipalities and state governments. We have a general fund problem everywhere because, mostly because of the economy. The economy's in a rut. Tax revenues aren't coming in, property values are going down. But one of the mistakes that governments make is they think everybody should pay a play a piece of the game. So our employees are when we were going into the table, was they needed $9,600 for the general fund out of our departments. They asked for considerably about more. Well, that's not a fair representation of what's needed for the general fund. Some of the balances are on the other funds are low. But like you said, the water rates need to be increased. The sewer, we did it in Hanford. They're doing it in Fresno. They did it in Corcoran. People were upset. But you know what? Their funds are full. I just finished negotiations there. And if you took your budget and their budget and put it side by side, you see your deficits are about exactly the same. I mean, they start off with revenues. They start off with, they had 3 years ago, $10 million in their reserves. They now have less than $1 million. But through the last few years of negotiations, it's come to the point where Fresno County, where we just negotiated three contracts and I finished those, and Corcoran of those, they found out taking money, unnecessary money out of non-general fund positions does one big thing for their area in Fresno County and the cities. What it does, it takes money off the top of the citizens that spend money in your community. If you cut their wages by, well, in Fresno, it's huge, you know, $4.5 million, but you even $162,000, $200,000, can't, that's money that was going to be spent here that had no, you know, you take it from it, it had no impact to the general fund in the first place. So you just took $162,000, I'm just throwing that number out there, I know it's changing back and forth, that this community is going to lose. And some members are going to lose their homes. And if that happens, your property values are going to go down. As you see, it's a domino effect. You can't just keep cutting and cutting and cutting. You have to make necessary cuts where they are necessary. And I met with these members, and most of them all live here, and they're willing to put a piece in the game. But these devastating cuts being asked from this group at the lower tier, and I appreciate what you said earlier, by the way, because we do see that most of the time it's always the people that provide the services that are cut and not the hierarchy. And of course, you guys have a pretty small hierarchy here in Reedley, and a very good one, actually. But before you make decisions, and as we go through our negotiating process, we're going to put a piece in the game. But what's being asked now of these employees would devastate this community. For every $1 they lose and they can't spend the community, that changes hands 7 times. So you're asking unnecessarily to take 7 times what the cut is out of a devastated community right now. I was here last week. 3 businesses closed. These people are going to spend money there. So you're not impacting just your employees. You're impacting the entire community. And I just want you to think about it as you go through the process. This is a tough job. I'd hate to be sitting where you're sitting. I would be. I'm telling you. Because I've been going, I've talked to a lot of city councils, a lot of board of supervisors, and a lot of state legislatures. And I wouldn't run for office if I had to. But please, before you make unnecessary cuts that don't deal with general fund positions, make it fair and fair. And I believe in what Steve says. Please fire. I mean, I support them and the decisions they're doing. There's other places you can cut their non-necessities. Look at those first. You can bring those back. You can't bring back your employees in general services, and you can't bring back your police officers. So, you know, make some tough decisions. I'm glad you're doing it, not me. But please, do not devastate the workers of the city. So, or your businesses. Thank you.
I'm impressed with what you're saying. But you know what? I would love to see you represent the public.
I have represented the public.
Oh, ask them how they feel about their fees being raised. They're having problems meeting their payments. and losing their jobs.
I am part of the public. I've had my fees raised. I've had my things. I paid more taxes. I've done all those things. I actually, you know, go to my own city council meetings. I do the same. I'm just like them. I'm just not living in Reedley, but I have the same problem in Hanford. I don't want my fees going up.
Exactly. All right.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Would you come up to the microphone, please? Your name and address for our record.
Kim Martinez, 329 West Herbert.
Can you pull that microphone? Atta girl.
Okay, first, Ray, I would like to have your word on it that if there are layoffs in CUSA, you are going to take from the top and not from the bottom. You made that statement. I'd like to know if we can really have your word on that.
Well, it depends on the budget. It depends on the budget. If we need to, that's where we're going to go, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, I can only speak for myself that the CUSA you're requiring or requesting from members of the police department, the amount that I will have to take a pay cut amount, I will lose my house. No doubt about it. It's a huge amount, and I cannot afford that. I'm a single income. Yes, I do live by myself at this time. However, I do have two children that are away at college. And just the amount that you're wanting to take from me and anyone else in the department is more than I can afford. I've worked for the city for 15 years plus. You know, and you're saying that you took care of us when times were good? No, you didn't. We are the lowest paid department in the area. We were not taken care of. Other cities were getting paid way more than what we were, from the bottom up. Our income does not equal any of the others. And we've been fighting and fighting for a pay increase, which never came. Promises were made and broken. Now the economy's broken, and we continue to pay. We're losing people. We have several people who have applied out. And for myself, if I have to take this kind of pay cut and stuff, I'm going to end up having to quit and move because I won't be able to afford my house or be able to stay here in Reedley. So why don't you reconsider and look at proposals that are being made and see what impact it would have. I do, with Steve, I really appreciate what he said and everything. With the fees going up and everything, if you're cutting my pay, I'm not going to be able to make those payments either. Thank you.
Are there any other comments? Seeing none. Lori, were there any, or maybe department heads, were there any changes or, especially in the fund balance, in the general fund section that are being looked at to cut to try to balance this into a break-even budget?
At this point in time, all expenditures have already been cut to the point where we can continue operations and the level of service as we have last year. If there are additional cuts made, then there will be loss of service and or programs. And of course, we're willing to do that. We'd like some direction from council, perhaps on what the priority is of services and programs, where you'd like us to perhaps start looking at those cuts.
Okay. Any other department heads or staff comments? Any other comments from the council?
No.
Can you please state your name and address for the record?
My name is Ruthie Greenwood, and my address is 1607 Dacia here in Reedley. I am a city employee, and when we heard about the budget cuts and all, it does concern me. I do live in Reedley. I have lived in Reedley for about 7 years now, about as long I've worked in Reedley. We really like working here. We like Reedley, and that's why we chose to move here. But with the budget cuts and all, it really concerns us that Some of us are afraid that we're going to lose our houses, we're not going to be able to feed our families anymore, we're going to lose our cars, which is our sole way to get to work. So without our cars, we really don't have a way to get to work. And so we're concerned because it's money's tight for all of us. And with these kind of cuts, I mean, we're really concerned about how we're going to take care of our families and stuff. I mean, we really like Reedley and stuff, but it, unfortunately, other people have made decisions and stuff too that there's other places to work because unfortunately it's better choices for their families, and their spouses have lost their jobs, their spouses have taken cuts, and they have to have ways to feed their families. So I just wanted to give you guys something to think about. That's all.
Thank you. Any other comments?
John McCarthy, 812 J Street in Reedley. I'd just like to mention to Ray, he always talks about the public. It seems like you forget that we are your public as well. We are employees, but we are also the public. And it seems to me that everybody uses the toilet and everybody drinks water, that the fairest way, and you're always talking about being fair, that the rates go up. The public won't like it. We're your public, we don't like it. But everybody should pay a little bit. You've said that many times.
Exactly.
So if the rates in the water go up, in the sewer go up, the public may get mad, just as mad as us. But that's what's fair.
And we're doing that now. We put a plan that we're going to raise the fees annually. Okay? We're not waiting 5 years before an increase on it. We're doing it annually. And explain to the public why we have to do it because of the cost to cover those departments. So we're not neglecting you, or we're not neglecting the public, but we're explaining to them why we have to do those things. So we're not forgetting about you.
It just seemed like it.
I am just saying you are the public, and the public is concerned about their livelihood too, just like you folks are. And all I'm asking is give a little bit so we can balance this budget. And then let's work with it, and hopefully we can bring business and we can generate tax dollars to bring you up where you're at now.
Yeah, because it's scary. You drive around this town, the pub's closed, the Pizza Hut's gone,
well, exactly.
The Domino's is gone.
Exactly.
You see more empty windows, it seems like, the old candy and whatever it used to be. Now that place is closed. I mean, there's a lot of empty places in this town, and it seems like we're getting more of them closing than there are coming.
Well, you know what's
and
happening.
I don't know what the answer is, but
what's happening is everybody believes for some crazy reason that the downfall is over and it's leveling off. It's not. The downfall is going to continue, and it's going to get worse in the next couple of years. And everybody who keeps trying to preach, you know, Mr. Obama's we're recovered is totally wrong. And, you know, there's a little misconception, I think, growing in the air here. We have raised rates. We raised them dramatically. We took the water rates from being the lowest in the state of California to over doubling them at one point in time. You know, it used to be folks in this town were paying very, very minimal dollars, and those enterprise funds were starting to hurt very badly. The wastewater treatment plant should have been fixed 16 years ago, should have been replaced 16 years ago, and then it would have cost a lot less money. 16 years ago. But if we wouldn't have replaced that wastewater treatment plant now, we'd be in a world of hurt. Definitely. You know, and we are doing more studies, and we are going to eventually end up raising the rates in all those enterprise funds. You know, and the thing about this, you know, I was told to keep my mouth shut tonight because it seems that every time I open my mouth, then at the negotiation tables, all my words are brought and they're twisted a little bit. And so, but it's hard for me to keep my mouth shut because, quite honestly, you know, got on this council 7 years ago, was told, you don't micromanage the city manager and the department heads. You know, how do you oversee someone if you don't ask questions and you don't get information? So we sit back and we don't ask a lot of deep questions and we don't get a lot of information. And then We're not even told what the first offer is going to be to the employees and the unions, and it shot off like a cannon. And even when we see the first offer that's made, you're like, really? That's what we really asked for? And then we're brought into the game late. And then when we start really digging into this budget and we start running a lot of numbers and we, you know, sit up late at night calculating, recalculating, and then Lori gets emails from me first thing in the morning where I'm doing that before I'm doing my job. And we come up with things that we could do that could make it so I think you guys would be happy. Now we're told we can't, because that first shot over the bow went off and set the parameters, and under laws that cover the unions, you can't change the direction midway. And I'll be honest with you, if they didn't tell me I can't say these things, I'd tell you exactly the plan that I have that could balance this budget, that would make the costs from the employees minimal. But I can't now. And that really pisses me off. It does. Pisses me off as a citizen, pisses me off as a council member, and it pisses me off because we can't make that offer to you. And that's why, and this will get me in trouble again, I believe every person should stand on their own merits and get what they deserve. And let's take another little misconception. Everybody wants to always talk around it, but they never want to say it. Community Development Department, or Community Services Department, the Recreation Department. That department brings in 2/3 of the revenue that it costs this city. So to say that it's a non-revenue generating entity is incorrect. It generates revenues. So if we go that route, which we did last year, we cut that budget last year, I believe, by about 33%, then we'll go and we'll look at the ones that don't bring in revenues. And the ones that don't bring in the revenues are going to be the programs that we'll cut that will affect the youngest kids in this town. And when we're battling gang issues like we battle, if we don't get to kids when they're young, then guess what? Our police officers will have a heck of a lot more to deal with, and that general fund's going to cost a heck of a lot more. So, you know, I want us to all be on the same team. And I can guarantee you next year, that first shot's not going to go over any bow until this council knows what the heck it's going to be. And we better do a better darn job of hiring a leader in this organization that won't keep those types of things from the council and from the employees. I'm tired of all the misdealings and the misconceptions that then fester and get everybody angry at each other. We should be working together, not being mad at each other. And if you can get your folks to agree to sit down at a table and waive these laws that prohibit us from making some presentations to you, I think we could make a hell of a presentation to you that would make a lot of you very happy, and make it to where a lot of you wouldn't have the fears that you're going to lose your cars and your houses and everything else. Now, I can tell you, Lori said it earlier, we balance this one the day after we're starting on the next one. And that's the way it needs to be, and that's the way it should have been all along. And I appreciate all the input you guys have brought to us. Every little plan that you've brought, every little piece that you've recommended, it has come across us. And I can tell you that we put a lot of those things into these calculations that could, you know, prohibit employees having to donate as much as they would. But right now, we can't come back and offer it to you. So just think about that. And I guarantee you, I'll promise you something. I'll promise you the day after we finish this budget, I'll work, you know, on behalf of this council with Lori to make sure we run the numbers the way we've been running them in the last 3 months, which we should have been running them since January. Like, I can guarantee you, I requested that to happen, and it got denied. But I guarantee you, I will put in all my efforts to work with her to make sure the numbers balance right so we don't go through this again. It's unnecessary, and I'm sad to say that, and I will say that, and I will admit it. A lot of this heartache has been unnecessary. It could have been fixed early.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, if I can just say one more thing, is that we're looking for a new city manager, and this new city manager is going to be asking a lot of questions, and we're going to be asking a lot of questions from department heads. We've experienced some stuff from departments that we have not received that helps this council. So we're going to be asking a lot of questions, you folks, and be prepared to answer some questions of things that have happened in the past, and hopefully we can correct them. All right? Because this council has been put to the grind right now. So just to say, we are going to be involved. We're not going to micromanage. We are going to ask questions.
Any other public comment?
I'd like to just address Mr.
You need to come to the microphone, please. And if you can make it brief, I'd appreciate it.
And I just want to clarify something. I don't know where you're getting your information, so, but we're still bargaining. And you hired an attorney, which some cities do, most people. Nowadays, you had one before that we dealt with, and you guys fired him, so I'm dealing with him in another city. But we haven't stopped the bargaining process, and you oversee the bargaining agent, whoever you hire. And there's been no rules, and there's been no impasse. So I continue to want to bargain. And I got a lot of my people here, and I discuss every day with them, what can we do? I'm sure you guys have seen some of the things we'd be willing to move on. But the bargaining process hasn't stopped, so I just don't understand what you've been told behind closed doors. I don't want to get into that, and I don't want to bargain a contract with you here. But you still have the authority to push the bargaining whichever way you want, because you have a hired help. And I'm directed, like you, I'm directed by my members. And I take that to heart. I care about my members, and I care about what they live and where they work. I worked at the Pirelli Tire Factory for 27 years, so I'm a factory worker that went through education and ended up where I'm at. So I know what they're going through. I know what you're going through. But we haven't stopped bargaining, so if someone's put you under the mindset that we've stopped bargaining and things are at it, you can't move any forward. That's not true. So we're still bargaining.
It's not about whether we're bargaining or not. It's about what we're being told is law. And you know what? I'm not going to violate the law. And the other thing is too, I'm not going to continue to have, my words to be used as the threat for a lawsuit. So,
well, as you all know, that is one of the major issues is the employees and the bargaining that needs to be done yet. So we're working our way through this, and we do appreciate your comments and your questions. And as we continue to go through this, we're not done yet. We do have more money that we need to come up with somewhere to balance particularly the general fund. So if you have ideas, give them to your department heads.
And we are in the process of hiring a new city manager, and like everywhere else, I mean, he's going to step into a very tough position, he or she. So they're going to be running 8 miles behind when they start. But you know, we're not an island here. Everybody else is experiencing the same difficulties. I know I keep hearing people saying that they're going to leave and go somewhere else. It's tough all over. It's tough all over. You know, we have jobs. We held jobs, and we know it's. We don't necessarily have jobs in this city, but we know it's tough, and there's foreclosures everywhere. Everybody's having trouble attracting business. Everybody is. And I don't want to see businesses close here. I want to do everything I can to hold on what we got and bring new businesses in. But we're not an island.
I know it's difficult right now to give some direction because we have management positions that are in flux and you're still dealing with employee negotiations. But I would like to move forward with working on another draft. Of course, I'm working with engineering for the revisions to the street fund and the Rule 20 fund, and with Public Works on the disposal fund. I would like to get a consensus from council on a couple of things that were mentioned. Would you like me to put in the next draft using the general fund reserves, reducing Fund 2 down to a minimum balance of $750,000 and utilizing the remaining balance towards the general fund deficit?
Well, I'll just say this. I'm very leery in giving up reserve dollars, I think that's our piece of the skin we're going to put into the game. We need to, you know, we're asking employees to give some to us. We need to utilize some of the citizens' dollars to give back toward the employees and meet them in the middle is what I'm hoping for. And, you know, I'm for putting in the $253,999, you know. And I also think we really need to be on that August 16th agenda.
That was my next question.
If not sooner,
how much you would like to?
Request
from the oversight committee,
if possible, get a meeting with that oversight committee even sooner, if possible, because I'd like to hear from them and get their approval on the, you know, up to $100,000. Not saying we'd use the whole $100,000, but I would have the intent of going in and asking for them to allow us to use up to $100,000.
Well, we're already asking from this presentation from the police department tonight, we're already asking them for about $38,000.
Well, but that's
in addition to this that we have in the budget.
I understand that, but they're asking for it for what it's meant for.
For is to increase the appropriation,
right,
for funding part-time services,
right,
and
right.
What I understand, the question is tonight on the up to $100,000 is to supplant general fund services,
correct,
of which the council would have to pass a resolution of public necessity stating that there's no other way to pay for the existing general fund police services.
Exactly.
Email the committee members tomorrow
to see if we can get
a meeting date much closer as soon as possible, if we can get them all five together.
I think it's critical.
Okay, I'll
do
that.
And if we did that, then we're putting, you know, besides all the cuts that have been made so far, we're putting in over $350,000 toward that $631,000 figure.
How do the rest of the council feel about, let's maybe take each one of those items one by one? I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's fine.
Maybe start with the Measure G funding. Would you be willing to request the allocation of $100,000?
Yes.
For that? And that would basically allow for one, pretty close to one full-time officer to be added?
We just, as long as we write it up ahead of time and make sure it meets the criteria, Measure G, so that, and I know it will, but I want to make sure that we're on solid, sound ground.
It meets the, you can legally do it. It wasn't necessarily the spirit of the Measure G. It was intended to hire new additional officers. It is within the legal right for the city council to supplant services if you make the public necessity finding of utilizing the money. It is not necessarily a requirement of the oversight committee to approve that, but legal counsel has advised that it would be helpful if they approve that request.
Can I ask a question? How long is that tax dollar been in place?
Since 2008.
2007?
How many officers have we hired since then?
We've hired at least three officers and two CSOs as a result. And in answer to your question, or one of the comments that was made about the Measure G and, you know, and asking for the money, what we can do is sharpen our pencils and make sure that we give you an accurate fund balance to ensure that we can sustain the programs that we still have that we have in place, so we don't have to back or lose those in order to get this. So we will sharpen our pencils and have that fund balance for you prior to the meeting, so that you can have a chance to look at it. The Measure G committee, Oversight Committee, will have an opportunity to review it, so that everyone has the exact number, you know, that you need.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So am I hearing a consensus on that item then?
Yes.
Yes.
Next item is the general fund reserve. Mayor Pro Tem Rapata requested up to
$253.99.
Okay, so to leave a balance of $750,000.
Right.
What is your feeling on that? I don't know that I would like to go that high on pulling from that fund. I think I'd be willing to go with maybe half of that at this point. What are your feelings?
I think this is a really the year, if we're ever going to go to our reserves, I think this is the year to go to our reserves, and that's what they're intended for. I'd go along with the 253.
Because we're working with the public to show that we're working with them. I think this would be a good idea.
The audience is requesting that you speak up or move the microphones closer.
Sorry. I'm in favor of that because we're showing the public, the employees, that we're trying to work with them. So I think that request is, to me, it's viable.
So you're okay with
that? I'm okay with that. Yes.
Okay. Anita?
Yes.
Okay. Then we're a go with that too.
So if we do that, and if Chief, Lieutenant, if you guys really work on this and come back and can stamp this, that it'll work and it'll go. Actually, I looking at it, I like the plan. I like the idea of starting them off as reserves, and that's how it used to be in this town. We used to have a very big reserve force, and a lot of them filtered right into being full-timers. And even some of the guys who were retiring went back to being reserves. So if you can make this work and you can save us that $71,000 by doing that, and we do the two other things, then our number's down to 216,282. And we can, you know, that certainly shrinks that number quite a bit from what we've been communicating to the labor forces.
At this point in time, is there any other direction that you'd like to provide us with, or anything you'd like us to look at to bring back to you at a future date, which perhaps we can set tonight for the next budget workshop?
You're not like that lady in Fresno County, their finance person that found $2 million.
No, afraid not.
time out. Be careful, because now they're doing an audit of that $2 million now. And that $2 million may have come out of your property taxes that they may be reimbursing you now.
I did have one question, and maybe it's not going to amount to a big dollar amount, but I was wondering, I noticed that there were some charges for storing, like our records.
Data vault offsite storage.
And I was wondering, is there any way that we could maybe do some scanning of documents if they're not required to have original documents on file?
The majority of those, there's some public works records that are stored, but the majority is financial records on site. We're able to keep the current fiscal year and the prior fiscal year, and anything beyond that is stored offsite at Data Vault, and particularly it's our payroll records and our accounts payable records and all the backup documentation. So it would be pretty
Does it have to be hard copy?
No, but it would be, we just don't have the staff right now to be able to scan.
What I was going to say to you is I'm bringing the city manager actually a group that does work for the people I work for, and they'll come in and scan a full banker's box for you at $1.50 a box. And so I'm going to bring that to the city manager and try and get that off the books, because these guys will come in and you'd be amazed. They can take a whole storage container and have it done within a few hours. And it's amazing. So I'll talk to city manager about that.
We did that at my work this last year, and you'd be amazed how clear even like yellow colored documents and pink colored documents come out in a scanner.
That's just something
I'm throwing out.
We're even doing the dental records, scanning them from our dental hygiene clinics.
Another concern that I saw pretty much throughout the budget was uniforms, allowances, and maybe discussing not to cut them out, but to maybe reduce some of them. If we have people that have uniforms, do they need $1,000 a year to keep those up? I don't know. That was just something I'm just throwing out.
That is part of the portion that is paid to the employee, which is the RPOA unit. That's something that is negotiated. We've already made the 11-12 issue of the sworn safety officers. The non-sworn personnel have agreed to not get their uniform allowance just yet because it's a negotiated item. The other side of the house, the public works side, they don't get a direct uniform allowance. We pay for the cleaning services and things like that, so we're paying Aramark. Okay.
That was just something that I kind of saw kind of throughout the budget. And then another question that I had was on the LTD insurance. I think that's long-term
disability.
Care and disability insurance, and that might be something that we might want to look at as we roll forward, and maybe not necessarily this fiscal year, but for a future fiscal year.
We actually changed plans. Last year it was part of the change in the dental. We lumped it together with the Emeritus change, and we actually were able to reduce the premium from 70 cents per thousand payroll. I believe it's now down to 26.6 cents per thousand payroll. So it was a drastic reduction for the same benefits.
Okay.
But
okay. Okay.
Yes.
Good. Okay, thank you. Were there any other council comments this evening? Any other public comments? One more, you're on.
One more.
Okay, would you please give us your name and address for the record?
Sure, Robert Schro, 1700 Riverview Drive in Madera. Member of the police department. I just had a couple questions or maybe some ideas of what was going on here today. I assume after everything I've heard at this meeting, with the possibility of the budget deficit being reduced dramatically, just from what I was told, I assume we'll be getting a different proposal, hopefully, because the amount that we've been asked to give up just from the POA is over the $216,000 deficit, but, that we are probably, if these things go through, projecting. People are saying that, you've been saying that the public will suffer if layoffs occur. The public's going to suffer if layoffs occur, if people leave their positions that have years and years of experience. No matter what, if somebody's leaving, getting laid off, whatever, someone's suffering. That's just the hard fact of that. On the one thing that I haven't heard anything about, and it's still a possibility, I haven't been told at this point it isn't, is on the federal COPS funding. And we should know at the police department by the end of September if that's a possibility, because we put in for two positions. Mm-hmm. And those are funded for retention of officers also. And if we got both positions, that would be well over $130,000 to $140,000. So that's huge.
My understanding is that is a part of our budget for this year.
No, I don't believe it's been put in
the fund.
We have an existing.
That's not the federal. That's the state COPS.
Okay.
So that's the $100,000 is the state.
Is the state funding.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
So, and I know that's too far out and we need to get other stuff moving along, but that could definitely have an impact mm-hmm. on our budget mm-hmm. even for the next coming years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I appreciate what everyone's been saying. And I think it would also possibly be important to the Measure G community that voted for it, supports it, is that if you're going to take that money, that's used to retain cops, not just put money in the general fund. It was made for public safety. My feeling personally, maybe I'm a little biased, but it should still be used to keep the cops you have. And there's no doubt about it. Cops are leaving. And I hate to say that. I hate to sound negative. But that is the truth. And I believe in telling the truth. So, thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, if I can just say something. You know, the police department is a very important agency in this community. Just like every other employee that's sitting here is just as important. We all service the public. But we're all asking to give a little bit across the board. I'm not putting any department on a pedestal at this time because everybody is being affected, employees and the citizens of this really, because we're asking them to give more to keep this city going. And that's all I'm asking.
I'm on the negotiating team.
I know.
And we have offered, and I don't know if that's maybe not coming across, but I don't know what your definition of a little is compared to our definition of a little. You know, that maybe something's getting lost in translation here, but for me taking an 11 or 12% pay cut, that's a little bit more than a little. Mm-hmm. And I would hope you could understand that from my perspective when I have a wife and children to take care of. And I understand it's hard times. There's not a person in this room that doesn't understand it's hard times. But, you know, we need to take care of the community, but we have a responsibility to take care of our families also.
Understood. I hope that when we talked about the 100,000, that there was no misconception that that was going to go anywhere but public safety.
Yes.
So just to clarify that.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, the other part of it, too, is we all sit here and we're talking about this number, and now if we have our number down to 216, we can't stop there. Once we get down to zero, we have to keep going. We still have to find other ways to have extra dollars, because the way this budget is built right now, if the police department comes back 6 months from now and says we're $100,000 over budget, how do we deal with that if we were at zero? You know, if a trash truck blows up tomorrow and we've got to pay $500,000 for a new trash truck, where does that come from? You know, and that's the thing. This budget doesn't end when we get this number to zero. We have to find ways to get beyond that to have somewhat of a safe zone. And, you know, and that's why it's important to understand that it's not just about the general fund. It's about those enterprise funds. It's about every fund that's on this sheet right here. And we have to make sure that we have some type of a backup plan. We have nothing built into this budget, quite honestly, for capital expenditures. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And that's scary too. Mm-hmm. So.
And as I review this budget, I also look and see, I look real closely at what was spent last year and what are we proposing to spend this coming year. And I see many of them being a lot less in our budget for this year than what we actually paid out this last year. And that scares me. So. I work in finance. That's what I do for my living. And if I was presenting this to my owners, they would throw it back in my face immediately.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very concerned, and I concur with Steve's notes. There's nothing for capital improvements. At this point, we're feeling that we can't afford to put money there. But at some point, you can't afford not to put money there to be fiscally sound.
Oh, I am well aware of that. I mean, I've been here for 10 years when we used to buy used police cars with 100,000 miles on them already. Mm-hmm. And we all know how that worked out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we get it.
Yeah. Well, we have to work together.
I agree.
We will do what we can. And we need you all to do the same.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Last chance.
Could we set another date?
Seeing none. Yes, we can.
Let me ask this question. When's the next negotiating session so we don't just spin our wheels and we can maybe have something solid from that end of it? Do we know?
I think it's August 3rd. I believe both of them are on the same day. And I think the city manager is meeting with the unrepresented group on July 28th. So July 28th and August 3rd.
So why don't we do it the week after that so that we can digest numbers?
So that would be the week of August the 8th through the 12th?
Yeah.
Well, the council meeting's on the Tuesday the 9th.
So it either have to be Monday or... What about Monday the 8th? Anybody have anything on Monday the 8th where they can't be here?
It's fine with me.
It's fine.
Works for me.
Time?
7 o'clock. So August the 8th at 7 o'clock. Okay. So we will work with our labor negotiations in the meantime, make some adjustments that we've spoken about this evening. And
we'll have another draft version out, and the date that I release that out, I also upload it to the website so that anybody who wants to download it is available to do so.
Thank you, Lori, for your work. I want to commend you and appreciate all of the clarification and work that you do for